message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Last Sunday, we learned how Abraham and how God used him to be a witness for Christ. Today, we learn about Abraham's son, Isaac. We also learn about Abraham's grandson, Jacob. And finally, we will also learn about Abraham's great-grandson, Joseph. Last Sunday, we heard about the time God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, even though God had promised that the Savior of the world would come through Isaac's family line. Abraham trusted that God would keep his promise, even if he allowed Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, meaning that Abraham simply believed that God would have to raise Isaac from the dead. Now, of course, we know that God did not allow Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. God provided a lamb instead. The reason God put Abraham through that test was for two reasons. First of all, to strengthen Abraham's faith. But secondly, to give Abraham and us a picture of what God himself would sacrifice in order to save us from our sins. And we have been saved from our sins through the sacrifice of the Lamb, Jesus. Now, when we think about how God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, we always think about how strong Abraham's faith must have been. But have you ever wondered about the strong faith of Isaac? I mean, he was the one under the knife. If anybody had to have faith in God's word, it was Isaac. And Isaac did trust God's word. Rather than running away in fear, he willingly laid down and offered himself as a sacrifice. He trusted God's word. Many years later, after Isaac was married, he and his wife Rebekah were given two twin sons, Jacob and Esau. Now, Esau was born first, and so according to that culture, it would be Esau that would inherit his father's wealth and blessing. But God does things differently than we do. God said that the younger son, Jacob, would inherit his father's wealth and blessing. And that Jacob would also be in the family line from which the Savior of the world would come. Now you need to know that Isaac didn't obey God's word at first. When he was elderly, Isaac intended to bless Esau, as was the custom of that culture. Now, Jacob and his mother Rebekah were so concerned about this that instead of trusting God's promise that Jacob would receive the blessing, they devised a deceptive plot to trick Isaac into giving Jacob the blessing instead of Esau. And as you know, they succeeded. And Isaac ends up giving Jacob the blessing of the firstborn. However, later on, when Isaac finds out that he had been deceived, instead of taking his blessing back, he allows it to remain on Jacob. Isaac finally accepts God's will for Jacob and allows his blessing to remain on him. Now the question is, what can we learn from Isaac's example? Two things. First of all, God obviously had captured Isaac's heart because when he was a young boy, he allowed himself to be a sacrifice under his father's own hand. Even though Isaac couldn't understand why God would ask his father to kill him, Isaac trusted God's promise that he would have a family and that the Savior would come from his family line. My friends, God also has given you and me that kind of faith. You see, sometimes God allows us to go through very difficult times, and during those times, we may be tempted to question whether God loves us. I'm sure Isaac felt that way when he saw his father holding a knife over him. But just as the Spirit moved Isaac to trust God's promises, the Spirit will move you to trust God's promises of forgiveness, love, and eternal life that you already have in Christ. My friends, these gifts are sure and certain even when God allows you to face situations that seem to call God's promises into question. Now, the second thing we learn from Isaac's example is this. We learn that he was a sinner, just like you and me. You see, even though Isaac trusted God, there was a time when he rebelled. Remember, he wanted to bless Esau instead of Jacob. But God finally had his way, and Isaac ended up giving his blessing to Jacob as God had planned all along. This example from Isaac's life shows us that God will continue to work through us in spite of our own struggles with sin. We may at times be unfaithful, but God is always faithful, and he will do whatever it takes to keep us in his will. Well, now we're ready to learn about Jacob, the grandson of Abraham. If you recall your Sunday school lessons, Jacob eventually married and he had 12 sons. One of his sons was named Joseph. And God had told Joseph that he would one day be very, very successful and very, very powerful. And guess what? Joseph bragged about that fact to everyone he met, especially to his brothers. Well, Joseph's brothers became so jealous that they sold Joseph as a slave to Egypt, and then they lied to their father Jacob by telling him that a lion had eaten Joseph. Now, what was Jacob to think about God's promises now? You see, God had said that his son Joseph would be very, very great and very, very successful. And now Jacob finds out that his son Joseph has been eaten by a lion. Was God going back on his promises? Also, what about Joseph himself? God had promised Joseph that he would be powerful and successful, and now Joseph is a slave in Egypt. Worse yet, Joseph eventually is framed for a crime that he didn't even commit, and he ends up in a dungy, dark prison. My friends, at that point in his life, Joseph was lower than low. He probably wondered, is God going back on his promise? But Joseph continued to trust God's promise, and I hope you know the rest of the story. As God began to direct the events of history, Joseph rises from being a prisoner, and he ends up being second in command of the entire nation of Egypt. God had kept his word. Joseph was successful and powerful. Well, years later, Joseph arranged for his brothers and father to come and live in Egypt. Imagine what Jacob thought when he heard that his son was alive after all. And not only was his son alive, he was second in command of all of Egypt. Even though Jacob had his doubts for many years, he found out that God keeps his promises. Joseph was powerful and successful just as God had promised. Now, when Jacob was very old, he had an opportunity to bless Joseph's sons. Not only did Jacob get to see Joseph again, he even saw Joseph's sons. My friends, God is faithful. In fact, Jacob then made Joseph promise that he would not bury him in Egypt, but instead that he would take his body to the promised land, where God said that Abraham's descendants would one day have a home, the very home where the Savior of all the world would be born. In fact, when Jacob blessed his 12 sons before his death, Jacob gave a very special blessing to one of his sons named Judah. Now the reason I'm mentioning this is that when Jacob blesses Judah, he gives a prophecy about the Messiah. Listen. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. My friends, this is a very important scripture because it tells us that the Savior of the world would now come through the family line of Judah. We start out with Abraham. Then we're focused on Isaac. Then we're focused on Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons, and God narrows the focus on Judah. And it's through Judah's family line that the Savior will come into the world. My friends, what do we learn from Jacob's faith in God's word? Simply put, for years, Jacob wondered why God seemed to go back on his promise. I mean, God had told him that Joseph would be successful and powerful, and then he finds out he's been eaten by a lion. But God kept his promise, even when it seemed that he had not. We need to remember that. My friends, God says that he loves us, but sometimes horrible things happen in life, and we begin to doubt that God loves us. We look at our sins, and we wonder how God could possibly forgive us. We look at the graves of our loved ones, and we also face our own mortality, and we begin to wonder if God will keep his promise to raise us from the dead. We learn from Jacob that God does keep his promises in his time and in his way. And even though circumstances may lead us to doubt God's word, the Holy Spirit will keep us focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, through whom we are now forgiven and have the certain hope of eternal life. Now, after Jacob died, Joseph kept his promise to his father, and he took his body to the promised land and buried him there. However, once Jacob had died, his other sons, who had sold Joseph as a slave, they began to worry. You see, as long as Jacob was alive, they thought, the reason Joseph hasn't taken vengeance on us is for the sake of his father. He doesn't want to do anything to us while our father's still alive. But now that Jacob was dead, they start thinking, we're in trouble now. We sold him as a slave many years ago. Now he's second in command of Egypt. He could squash us like a bug if he wanted to, and he probably will. We better go to him and beg for mercy. In fact, we'll ask him to make us his slaves. That's right. We'd rather be his slaves than be dead. We'll pray that Joseph has mercy. Well, they come to Joseph and they do just that. They fall before him and say, "Joseph, have mercy on us. Just make us your slaves. Don't kill us." What would you do? Joseph had the power to kill his brothers as payback for selling him as a slave. But you see, the Holy Spirit was in control of Joseph's heart. I want you to listen to what Joseph said to his brothers who were on their faces before him. He said, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Joseph forgave his brothers. He didn't make them his slaves. Even more, Joseph trusted that God had a plan to bless him all along, even in the midst of his trials. This reminds me of what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8. He says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." So when people persecute you and mistreat you, God's forgiveness and mercy toward you will move you to forgive others just as Joseph forgave his brothers. And when you face trials and tragedies in your life, God will remind you that you are still in His hands. Even though we don't know all the reasons that God allows us to suffer, we do know that He promises to work through our pain and sorrow to bless us in ways that we can't even begin to imagine, and also to work through us to be a blessing to others. Now you need to know something about Joseph before he died. Just like his father, Joseph also wanted his body to be buried in the promised land, not in Egypt. So Joseph made his brothers promise that when he died, they would take his bones to Egypt. But my friends, they weren't able to do that. And I'll tell you why. You see, eventually, the descendants of the 12 sons of Jacob became slaves in Egypt. They didn't have an opportunity to take Joseph's bones to the promised land. In fact, their descendants would be slaves in Egypt for 400 years. But God never forgot His promise to Abraham's descendants that they would live in the promised land. So after 400 years of slavery, God raised up Moses, who would lead God's people out of Egypt. And you know what? When they left Egypt, 400 years after Joseph said, "Don't leave my bones in Egypt, take them to the promised land," Moses remembered that request. Even though he had been buried 400 years in the past, Moses had Joseph's bones taken from his tomb. And when they left Egypt and journeyed to the promised land, they buried Joseph's bones there. Now the question is, what do we learn from this? Well, we'll get to learn more about Moses next Sunday. For now, I want you to consider this. Joseph wanted to be buried in the promised land because he trusted God's word that eventually his descendants would be living in the promised land. In the same way, when your body is one day lowered into the ground, you can know that it's not going to stay there, because this world is not your home. One day God will raise your body from the dust of the ground, and He will bring you to the place where you belong, the promised land, the new creation that God will provide for you on the final day when Christ returns in power and glory. But we're not there yet. Until that glorious day, we live by faith. We live by faith in God's word. Today, the faith of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph have inspired us. They were sinners just like us, but they trusted in God who always keeps His promises. God's ways are not our ways. We don't always understand what He's doing and why, but we can trust Him. The reason we can trust Him is that he gave his own son to the cross. And because of that, you are forgiven. We can trust him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds.